buckle up. It's showtime.
I've spent most of my life as a Democrat. I recently have seen fit to follow another course. I believe that the issues confronting us cross party lines. Outside of its legitimate function, government does nothing as well or as economically as the private sector of the economy. For three decades, we've sought to solve the problems of unemployment through government planning, and the more the plans fail, the more the planners plan. A government can't control the economy without controlling people. And they know when a government sets out to do that, it must use force and coercion to achieve its purpose. Somewhere a perversion has taken place. Our natural unalienable rights are now considered to be a dispensation of government. And freedom has never been so fragile, so close to slipping from our grasp as it is at this moment. In this present crisis, government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem.
Now, normally I would tell each and every one of you to dry your eyes. I can't do that today. Normally I would just take the L and say, all right, let's deal with it. It happened. Dry your eyes. Stand tall. Wipe yourself off. You know, brush off the bruises. Fought a long, hard-fought campaign, an election. And we came up short, and we may have to just take the L. That's what I would say under any other circumstances. But let's be truthful, ladies and gentlemen. This one hurts like hell. Probably because what I believe that most people did was they had something really invested in this. Their hearts and their souls were in this election. I don't believe so much about the other side. And I'll tell you why. I'll get to that shortly. By the way, it's Reese on the radio, 2 minutes after the hour, right here on blogtalkradio.com. It is the morning after, as I call it, November the 7th, 2012. I need to break down something for you. See, the reason why those on the conservative side, those who voted for Romney, why it hurts so much is because there was passion behind this. There was truly passion behind this. We can get our country back. There was a movement, an involvement that was spiritual, that was really, really within each and every one of us. For those of us who were watching, some of us didn't care all that much. They just didn't like President Obama for whatever reasons there were. But some of us, we were really, really, after what it is that we experienced and after what it is that we had seen, what it is that was so palpable happening within our country, we felt a personal investment of what was going on. Ardently different than in 2008. 2008, people were feeling something that was euphoric, feeling this great sort of pride, if you will. Yeah, let's get this guy elected. He sounds so great, so prolific. He sounds game changer. Look at the people and the enthusiasm and all that stuff. It had nothing to do with policy. People were so done with the wars. People were so done with George W. Bush. There was a lot of resentment in those 8 years of George W. Bush. And that enthusiasm was overwhelming. There were people who were conservatives who were done with the Bush years. Just wanted to get away from them, wanted to move into, and this guy brings in hope and change, and then there's that sort of enthusiasm. There's nothing really invested. You just say, wow, you know, we might be able to turn around from this, and you believe that. But this time around, people had witnessed it. They had suffered something different. And they knew that this guy, if he won again, that things were on the line that were real, that were tangible. That's why it stings so much today. But if you notice on the other side of the aisle, the excitement after the fact, where is it? They just reelected the first African-American president in history. Not only is it historic to elect him in the first place, but then to re-elect him. The excitement should be overwhelming, but it's not. It's dismal. It's barely what it was. Sure, he had way more votes. A lot of votes came out. He won the usual constituents. He won the blacks. By the way, Romney got 6% of the black vote. Obama had 93. Which isn't saying much, but it says enough to me. And I'll get into that, of course, later as well. Barack Obama got a lot of the Latino vote. We know why. He played right into that. He played right into that, to that vote. Everyone knew that, and everyone knew that it was going to resonate. What hurt Barack Obama, pardon me, what hurt Mitt Romney the most, Governor Romney the most, was the shrinking conservatism in our country. The shrinking electorate of conservatives in this country. That can not only be harmful, but it could be catastrophic in future elections. I'll get into each and every one of those things. The Real Talk Blancers is now on there talking about, oh, it's overwhelming me. I'm sure that it is. I'm sure that it is, Hefe. But let me tell you why you're not as overjoyed as you should be. Because deep down inside, Hefe Chulo and all of the other Barack Obama supporters, and I'm not crapping on you here. I'm just letting you know what is. There was a palpable nervousness in the Democratic Party. Sure, there were some people out there who said, no, you know, he's going to win this. I think he's going to win. And that's true. I mean, you saw that on the other side. They were certain Mitt Romney would win. But there were people out there who were really nervous about this. As the numbers started to progress, when you started to see 143 electoral votes early in the election night, numbers that you never saw before or you thought that you'd see, when those numbers started coming in, when you started to hear that Virginia was in play, when you started seeing those numbers, and I know you saw them, those numbers in Virginia, a swing state, there's nothing to argue here. Barack Obama won. And I'd say a football game is called by 7, by 6, by 3, and sometimes by 1. And if you win by 1, you still win the game. You get a good effort at the end of the day, but you lose. But I want to say one thing. 855,000 versus 1,772,000. That was not a shellacking, ladies and gentlemen. It wasn't. And Florida? What are you going to say about Florida? It's less than 50,000 votes that separate the two of them, and they haven't even counted the absentee ballots yet. That's why Florida hasn't been called. 50,000 votes separate Florida, a swing state. The only thing to be sad about is the fact that Mitt Romney lost if that was your contender, your horse in the game. But the reason why that the Obama supporters are not as overjoyed, why the media is not overselling or overhyping this, is because it was close for them. And they were desperate. Listen to the rhetoric that they spewed. Listen to the words that they said. Everything had to be called racism. Anything you challenged Barack Obama on was completely scrutinized. There was a nervousness, a palpable nervousness within the group. of Democratic voters and Barack Obama supporters. 57,719,000 versus 60,532,000. This was no landslide in the popular vote. But I don't even care about the popular vote because we know the important part is the electoral vote. And with Mitt Romney, who could still get Florida, not like it, you know, it means anything today, but gets Florida, if we really, really look at those numbers when the absentee ballots come in, and Mitt Romney gets Florida, with those simple 50,000 votes, those are 29 electoral votes, 29 added on to his 206. So I want you to think about that. The reason why the Obama supporters are not screaming this absolute victory, and the reason why they're not shoving it in your face, is because until Ohio was called, they spent the entire night and the night before scared to death. And they can't lie to you. I don't care what it is that they try to tell you. They were scared to death. And the numbers prove it. But a win is a win. You know, I watched Mary. I'll give you a perfect example. I watched Mary, and we sat here and watched the Redskins-Giants game. And boy, that RG3, he threw that pass to Santana Moss after Mary had been chiding the Giants, do not give up the ball with too many minutes on the clock. Do not give it up to them. You have given them an opportunity to win. She was screaming, and I kept going, sweetheart, it's not that bad. Maybe they have a plan. Maybe they're going to let their defense go out there and win it. And she kept saying to me, no, it's not right. You don't do it. No, you don't do it. And then RG3.
You be proactive versus reactive.
That's right. Mary said that, and I was trying to calm her down because she was exacerbated. She's a huge Giants fan. And then RG3 threw that touchdown to Santana Moss. It was beautiful. Teardrop fell right into his hands and scored. Mary was, you couldn't control her at that point. I've never seen her.
I was disgusted.
Yeah, she was, exactly. She was enraged. I've never seen her like that about sports. I know how bad I can get. She was worse than I've ever gotten at the Jets. And I'm a Jets fan, so you know I'm upset all the time. But she was livid. She looked like Tom Coughlin in this living room. And then when that moment happened, I saw the look in her eye. It was desperation. It was fear. When Eli Manning gets out there on that field, what are they going to do next? We could lose this game. That's exactly what Democrats felt like yesterday and the day before. Don't try to deny it. I get it. I'm not ripping you for it. I get it. Because it is true. But you won. You clearly won, and you deserve to win. Because you did what it is that had to be done in order to survive.
Hello?
And that's exactly what the president did.
Dude, I tried to call you back.
He survived. And you know he did. So, nonetheless, Real Talk Blancers, I love the fact that they're talking crap about it. You won. I got it. And we took the L. We're upset about it. We're personally affected by it. A lot of us are, because we feel as though for us, there was a lot of end game in this, because we are talking about how it impacts our lives. Guys like the Real Talk Blancers, and I'm going to be real honest with you guys. You guys just wanted the nigger to win. Think about what I'm saying to you, and you know that it's true. You don't care about how this affects your life. Most black people don't think that the election even affects them in any way. They think that's the white man's world. That stuff don't mean nothing to me. That stuff don't never ever trickle down here in my hood and what I'm dealing with. What they be doing in the White House, they ain't got nothing to do with me. They'll never ever affect me. So the only thing you cared about, for you, it was nothing more than sport.
I'm like, I don't think all of me that.
But for the rest of us, It was about our livelihoods, like it or not. I've got them on there. You can hear them chiming in. That's them little bleeping. I love the fact that they're paying attention. They know that this is true. They can't tell me one thing. Please don't tell me about Obamacare. That doesn't affect you. You have health care already. Oh, until, of course, your employer tells you that you no longer can keep your health care, which will happen. What else are you going to tell me? Obama cares about the people? This is what people are talking about. Oh, he's doing a lot better than when Bush was in office. It's called progression, silly. You doing better for your life has nothing to do with who the president is. If you continue putting a product out there that people want and need to have, then you will always be successful. It's what you do, not what the president does. You're trying to put that on Bush, and there's nothing to do with it. What do you think? Apple sucked during the Bush administration in 2004? Did they continue to grow every time they put out a new iPod product? Anybody remember 2008 when the new iPod product came out at the same day that the stock market crashed 777 points? Huh? The iPhone still sold out that day, didn't it? Sold 5 million units. Because if you have a business model that people want, supply and demand, it has nothing to do with who president of the United States. We had a stock market crash. Huh? And you know it. So please stop telling me is that, oh, you did better under Bush than you did worse under Bush than you did with Obama. Here's the question. Did your product suck when Bush was in office? The rest of us are talking about something bigger than that. We're talking about how this affects us as families, people starting out, trying to buy a new home, possibly send their kids to college, what this is going to do to their investments. Maybe they're investing more money in the stock market, and their corporate tax, I mean, I'm totally missing the darn term now. Their investment rates are going to go up under this administration, which means that they're going to have to pull out of the stock market because they won't invest as much. Businesses won't be able to invest as much. It's just sad. And it's unfortunate that some of these people think that this is just a joke. Like I said, as harsh as this may sound to people like the Real Talk Blancers, to the rest of us, this is real life. To you supporters of Barack Obama, union thugs, average people, and some of you who claim to understand politics, you just had a nigger in a race and you won. Sad but true. I'm not talking to each and every one of you. Some of you really believe in these policies. Some of you are so ideologically blind, it's all you can see, is that you don't see the facts for what they are. And how it affects regular families. But you'll watch the rest of us crumble. Hey, remember, George W. Bush won the election in 2004. And it was after the start of the Iraq War. The war that people thought that we shouldn't have. Hey, it happened. Oh, they're just going off. Anyway, I'm not even going to respond to that. Plenty of people have things to say. They all want to jump in. Oh, I guess he wants to jump in now. I guess it's time for him to get on the line.
Who?
F.A. Chulo.
Don't even let him on our show.
You see, my wife holds a grudge. I'm not going to do that. I'm going to do one better. I'm going to take a break. Of course, after I do my monologue, it's always important that I at least take a break. Because there's plenty to talk about. We're going to talk about the numbers. And the numbers that Mitt Romney lost by. But folks, when I tell you something, there's a reason why I play that intro every time. Is because it's never over. The fight is never over. Every day we have to do one thing. And that is run down a dream. If you believe in getting something done, you have to chase it down. And I don't know. I'm not giving up. This president has now given me another 4 years of fodder. And he has for you as well. So stick around. We'll be back. It's Reese on the Radio.
It was a beautiful day, sun beat down, I heard the radio on, I was driving. Anything was possible. Hit cruise control and rub my eyes. The last 3 days, the rain was unstoppable. It was always cold, no sunshine.
Minutes after the hour right here on Reese on the Radio. The morning after. And if you've checked out our Facebook page, and of course, you know I'm spelling it morning, as in mourning the loss. And again, look, we took it. We took it as far as we could possibly go, and we lost.
Planned Parenthood had a morning after pill for us.
And we lost. That's what happens. That's what happens when you lose. There's always, and that's the whole reason why you get into it, because there is a possibility that you lose.
America lost.
Well, yeah. When I say we lost, well, he was our horse in the race, and he lost. Now, I'm sure that, you know, I have no problem with letting the other side gloat. But see, you didn't like my term, just having a nigger in the race. And that's not to belittle the president. That is to belittle the people who do not understand the importance of what it is that went on, and don't understand that there are plenty of other things at stake other than just saying, oh, the black man won, or doing little pictures, you know, mocking. You know, I'll give you a perfect example. Somebody like Beyonce, who's so far, and I'm not going to rip on her about what I think of her as a celebrity or any of that stuff, but let me just give you an example. Beyonce has done one thing that I've always given her somewhat credit for, is that she's always been poised. I may not like a lot of things about her. I may rag on her a little bit about certain things she does, about some songs and whatever. But, you know, I'm a critic. I'm a culture critic. But I've never, ever seen her step out of her sort of element. For somebody like Beyonce to understand that there are people out there who went out there and voted for Barack Obama for their reasons, and there were others who went out there and voted for Mitt Romney for their reasons, to then go way out of character and tweet a picture, take that, Mitch's, that's not Beyonce. And we all know it. So it shows you how bitter these people were, not just about winning, it shows me clearly they were scared to death.
You just took the words right out of my mouth.
They were scared to death. You don't exactly. Beyonce wouldn't have had to say anything. If she was so confident that he won, congratulations to President Obama for winning the election. I knew my support. You know, I always had my support for me, my love to your wife, and your beautiful family. Foremost,
enough said.
That's the end of it. But to take a swipe, you're Beyonce. You sell records. People you sell records to are Republicans, Independents, Democrats, and the like. You just alienated that whole base. Take this, Mitches. You alienated each and every one of them. That's not your foray.
No.
Try to sell a record now to anybody who saw that tweet. So let's get to him. Let's hear the other side. I'd love to hear what he has to say about the whole Beyonce thing. Did you think that was out of touch? Did you think that was a little classless, Efe? Efe, you're on the air, man. Efe, you're on the air. Are you not listening?
No, I'm listening. This ain't Efe, this Bingo.
Oh, I'm sorry. Who is this?
This Bingo.
Oh, Bingo. Okay.
Yeah, for real talk. What's going on?
Yeah, okay, so Bingo. Okay, so you didn't think that Beyonce was a little over the top with the take that, Mitch's?
Oh, I didn't actually see it.
Pardon?
I didn't see it. I've seen some other things, but I didn't see the one Beyonce put out there.
You're going to have to speak up because you're a little far away from the microphone.
Can you hear me now?
No. Are you in the kitchen? Are you cooking some grits? What's going on?
Well, I got to be cooking some grits, but I am cooking.
Because I was purposefully saying that you were out there making grits. I was personally offending you. You don't gotta be making grits. I suggested that you are for the reasons I said it.
Oh no, you know ain't not so much you can say that you defend me.
Okay, I know that. So answer my question. So you're gonna tell me that you weren't nervous last night?
Oh yeah, of course I was nervous.
Thank you. You were nervous. That's all I wanted to know. And again, a win is a win. But you knew this wasn't a landslide, but you were nervous. And that's the reason why I'm bringing this up about the reaction after the fact by most liberals. They have been scornful, vicious, and for Beyonce to put that out there, you know, it's to me a clear example that she was scared to death, that she had to then alienate an entire group of people. Think about this. Take that, Mitch's. Is pretty much telling. Think about this, Beyonce. You just flat out told 57 million people, F off.
Okay, so you don't think that Dick did the same thing by alienating, we considered 47% of the American people?
Hold on, you're right. Did Mitt pay for that? Of course he paid for it. He lost the election.
He lost the election.
He paid for it. I'm not saying one is right or not. My point is that while everyone was out there running around talking about this 47% alienates a group of people, I tend to agree considering the results. But then for you as a performer, and just like other people in this, Cameron Diaz is in an interview in London talking about she's glad she didn't wake up to be an embarrassed to an embarrassed nation. Embarrassed. You know, this is what it is. I'm talking about people were desperate and scared. And now out of their fear, they're showing exactly who it is that they are. Look at Chris Matthews, who said yesterday, I'm so glad for Hurricane Sandy.
Why? Because people believe that that's
Yeah, it turned out in the exit polls. It turns out in the exit polls that people were saying that President Obama's response to Hurricane Sandy was part of why they voted for him. And here's Chris Matthews saying, "I'm glad that over 100 people died because politically it helped the president of the United States." He was forced to apologize for it today.
He did what he did for, you know, the people that was, you know, hindered by the hurricane for no political gain. Because of the timing, it could look like that, but I don't believe...
Wait. Bingo. Those were his words. I'm not choosing the intent of Chris Matthews' words. This is exactly what he said. I'm so happy for Hurricane Sandy. Rachel Maddow went, whoa. And he says, you know, I mean politically. So in essence, he doesn't change what he said. He was forced to give a full two-minute, full-throated apology at the beginning of his show because he knows what he said was deplorable.
You know, Reese, honestly, you would think that they would have learned from Oprah and her actions.
Of course not. I'm sure this is. Let's see if this is F.A. on the line. F.A.
Yeah, yes. That's F.A.
Yes. 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 We won. High five, everybody. May, high five. J.T., high five. Reese, give me a hug. Give me a hug, nigga. Give me a hug. Give me a hug, Reese. Reese, give me a hug. Give me a hug, Reese.
Look, I will give you a hug, okay? You've been a little slick with the mouth lately, but I'm giving you a hug, Mary. Don't start flipping. I don't want to do. We're doing the opposite of what it is that they did on their show when they completely cut us out. We're showing who it is that we are, Recent Radio. We are letting you have a conversation about this, and we're going to let you gloat about it because again, you're going to have to deal with the backlash because I've got Dennis the Mass Menace and I got Sally D on the line, and I know they want to be a part of this conversation. I'm going to bring
Sally D. Yeah, the only thing I'm going to say is R.I.P. Romney isn't president. R.I.P. Romney isn't president. That's all we got to say. Let's bring it on.
I asked Bingo, and he was honest. He was scared.
Were you at all scared last night?
No, I was. It was dramatic. It was over before it was done. It was already done. We just had to wait for the polls and the West Coast closed because it was all dramatic. Oh, let's give Romney 143 electoral college votes. It wasn't even close.
No, let me tell you how desperate the liberals were in my area. I'm in Connecticut. And our capital city, Hartford, Connecticut. And it was I would say at least a good maybe 98% African American crammed into City Hall at the registrar's office, registrars of voters. After 11 o'clock last night, hundreds of people still trying to vote, and the reason they were still trying to vote was because they were late. And they had to keep the polls open for them. And this is long after they had already announced that he had won. They didn't go home. After he had won, I would have got out of that line and gone home if I was there to support him. But they just want to be a part of electing this president They still wanted to be a part of electing a president, so they can say that they've been a part of electing a president, not really understanding the ramifications of what that's going to mean for this country, especially for the next 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to see those people and wonder where were they in 2010.
Right. 2010 during the midterm elections.
When they handed back the Senate, I mean the Congress to Republicans, handed it to them on a silver platter.
Because again, it's not. Hold on, guys. I want to say this, JC. You clearly tapped onto what I'm talking about. Because if anybody is a part of this political process, they know that each election counts. Who it is that you elect into office, be it Republicans, be it Democrats, whomever it is that you elect in office, those midterm elections are relevant to the fiscal responsibility of this country. They didn't show up in 2010. The Republicans ended up taking over the House in January of 2011. They did not participate. When it was about Obama running, then all of a sudden it became the most important thing, which to me brings me to my analogy. You don't like the term that I use. But that's what I'm talking about. It was only about your nigga in the race. It was not about politics. It was not about the future of America. It was not about our fiscal responsibilities. It was about who is your black hero.
And you know what?
It wasn't about who was your black hero. It was the fact that the people didn't want a liar to run this country.
No, but even though they had who they had in office.
Y'all say, what y'all want? But y'all
but bingo. They had who they already had in office. Once they got who they wanted in office, they simply didn't care about what happens after that. They don't realize that he doesn't have the power that they think that he has to run this country. They don't realize that a lot of that has to have a chain of command, a protocol.
And you're right, and everybody dropped the ball in 2000.
Bingo, you talking about Romney, nobody wants a liar in the White House? Barack Obama has been one of, if you voted Clinton and he lied too, I never had sexual relationships with that girl.
Oh, no, I never voted for Clinton.
I never had sexual relationships with that girl.
He lied about Benghazi. Our U.S. ambassador is killed for the first time in something like 38 years. Your president and my president is a liar as well.
Even though he has that one more term, the next 2 years are going to be hellacious for him.
JC, hold on real quick because I know that these guys want to respond. So Bingo and Hefe, hold on for me because you know that they love you when you guys call in. So I'm going to put you on hold for a second. Let's get this. I know who's going to go nuts here. So I'm going to put on Sally D first before I put in Dennis the Mass Menace. So, Sally, is there anything that you want to say to Real Talk Lancers or supporters of Barack Obama? Because I know that this has affected you greatly.
Yeah, it has. And so the question that came to mind once the announcement was made that he was president, I was wondering, you know, what song they were going to play for the inauguration. I couldn't figure out if it was going to be Two Lives Cruise, Dick Almighty.
What was the other one?
This is absurd. This whole thing is absurd. You watch Jeopardy and they're talking about our ambassador getting killed. It hasn't even been 2 months, and they're making a trivia quiz out of it.
Yeah.
So this is the country we live in, and it's pretty basic stuff. People voting for Obama, 75% Latino, and I don't know what the numbers are with women, but women contribute a great deal. care who the candidate was. It could have been Ronald Reagan again. He loses. Because if people are voting on racial lines...
Is that you, Sal?
Yeah. Then
okay,
you know,
no, I
thought
the sound
was coming. Running for office, he loses. So this, let's just be honest about what this was about. People took sides. A lot of it was racially based, and here we are today. So let's see what happens.
You know, and honestly, I mean, when you really look at the big picture, with all of the sweeping legislation that he's made for, like, he quickly stacked the deck long before the election.
Absolutely.
Sure enough, too. Well, no, listen to what he's saying here. What he's saying, he stacked the deck. First of all, the amount of Latino votes that he did get, when he made that executive order, which was a sort of like preemptive Dream Act, where he says anybody here between ages of 16 and 30, that the federal government and the local governments could not deport them, that they were allowed to stay here. That
good move. That's a good move.
That's even a good move. I'm not disputing whether or not it was a good move. If you agree with it, that's fine. What I said was, what does that do? Does that elevate your Latino momentum? Of course it does. You then say, although you do believe that the states have the right to vote on it, you tell the American people, you now need to affirm, even though you've denied it 4 years ago, that you did not affirm, but you now affirm that you believe that gay people should have the same rights to marry as straight people. You affirm that, so that shores up another group of people. Now, does this gain him momentum in the country? Of course it does, especially with your base. I'm not saying that it's a bad strategy. It's a great strategy. I'm never going to criticize
a guy
for how he wins.
He's a genius. But that's the opposite of what Romney said. Romney said, hey, let's deport all the Mexicanos. Let's deport all them.
Hefe.
You may call him a genius. And if that's what you want to call him, that's fine. But his followers are morons.
Hefe,
so it doesn't take much to swing a moron to go your way, okay? Doesn't take much. Just like all the black folks he got. He ain't do a goddamn thing for no black people the entire time he has been in office. He ain't said he was going to do nothing. And every black person that voted for him is hoping and praying to God that he addresses some black issues in this four terms. Oh, I know you got
The thing is, he don't have to do nothing for no black people. Let's get this straight. He's doing stuff for the American people. I'm an American. I'm black first, American second. He's doing stuff for American people. So he's doing stuff for everybody, not just black people. Now, you're right, Mary. He hasn't done nothing for black people. But I still voted for him.
F.A. The unemployment rate in the black community is higher than it's ever been in 27 years.
So here we go again. Did we always talk about this, Reed? All my black friends have jobs. Any black person, I won't have a job.
I wanted to get Dennis in. Dennis the Mass Medicine is on the line. Dennis, did you have something you wanted to add here, please?
Oh, yeah. aren't we glad that Obama has 4 years? You know what the good part about this is? He's now lame duck.
Sure. Absolutely. He's got no control in the Senate.
And I'm going to tell you something else, too. There's going to be a huge wave election in 2 years because now Obamacare kicks in. Where do you start getting your tax bill?
Right.
Where do you start seeing exactly what the unmasked Obama really is like? And then see if you like him.
Well, wait. Hold on. You know, he's
hard to hear. If you can get back close to a mic, I'd appreciate it.
Yeah. Bingo, you got to get close to a mic because people can't hear you. You close.
No. You sound like you're far away, like in Afghanistan somewhere, hiding a ballot.
Listen to me. Hefe, I want you to consider something. Hefe, hold on. I want you to consider something. On January 1st, right?
2014.
2013. The Bush tax cut, they expire. The income tax cut expires at midnight, New Year's Eve. Every American working family is going to see their next check have a bigger chunk taken out of it. Not just people making $250 above, everyone. The tax credits will expire, okay? This is what we're talking about, what everyday people were really ardently going out there and voting against this man about. And when I hear people who keep talking about these frivolous little issues with Barack Obama, this faux Dream Act, and affirming that he supports gay marriage, These are not real issues to the American person. The real issues are their pocketbooks.
Don't affect the American person in a personal way, like tax cuts.
Yeah, so what that he supports gay marriage, and he believes that, okay, if you got here through no fault of your own, that you should stay. The only thing President Obama did, think about this, okay? If you are an illegal alien between the ages of 16 and 30, and the president says that you can no longer be deported, and you've already got an unemployment rate at 8%. At the time when he did it, it was 8.2. You have now just added some 1.5 million people to the workforce for work that isn't there. And what was it done for? So that he can look good. And this is what people were fighting against at the polls. You don't.
Not only that, Reese, if you have a larger chunk taken out of your wages, there goes your disposable income. And what do you do with disposable income? Sometimes you buy things that are frivolous, but somebody has to give you that service. And if you don't have that somebody giving that service, they can't be employed. And so there's no market for it.
You made
it's going to go to the maw, the sucking maw of government, which has to pay off Red China.
You're giving a good example. I always talk about the Las Vegas rule. The Las Vegas rule, guys should know this. Everyone looks at Las Vegas like, oh, that's where all the bigwigs spend all their money. But what about the waitress? What about the maitre d'? What about the maid who works in the hotel? If people do not have disposable incomes to go to Las Vegas and go to those hotels or work or go spend their money at those casinos or see those live shows, the people who work there are without a job and they lose them. So, of course, you want more people to have more money to spend so they can dispose of, and so people who work cruise line ships. These people are not rich. These are the average working Joes.
And you know what else, Reese? Do you remember a few years ago when they had the luxury tax on yachts and everyone thought, oh, it's a great idea. We're going to stick it to the rich. They can't have their yachts anymore. Well, guess what? When they start doing that, it destroyed a little main town because they went to working. All the jobs for the working class. And it filtered down to the barbershops because the barbershops were dependent on the workers to come in for a haircut. People weren't spending, and the entire town was destroyed.
People forget.
It was like trickle-up poverty.
Do you think that CEOs make Mercedes-Benz? Do you think that CEOs make the Phantom? No. These are working-class people who build the parts on these cars. And if people can't afford to spend their money frivolously the way that they do, those people are out of work. So that's why these businesses create jobs for the quote-unquote little guy that you believe that this president is so much looking out for. It's a joke, Hefe, and you know it, because you're not looking at it from that scheme.
Well, I'm looking at it like this. That Mexican that was already over here, he already had a job. He was working illegally. So
what he's saying?
So what? How is he contributing to the economy? If he's not paying taxes and he's sending half his salary back home to his native country, how is that helping the economy here? That's what I'm saying. Giving them this amnesty in no way helps this economy. You've just said, I am going to legally sanction freeloaders and give them a free ride. You think that that's good policy because it makes him socially look good? It doesn't make economic sense.
And Mexico would have never had no shit like that.
Never. Mexico won't allow El Salvador to come into their country. But you know what Felipe Calderon said? He said that Mexicans come to America to do jobs that blacks won't do. Oh, we can go to America. But
that's,
let El Salvador come to
America. That's a lie too. So that's a lie.
That's what he said.
Oh my goodness, really, cutting grass? Wait, cutting grass? You know, blacks don't cut grass, really?
When was the last time blacks were out in the fields picking vegetables?
That's Calderon said.
Well, blacks.
Just to be honest with you, I know plenty of black people that have told me straight to my face, I ain't taking them jobs. That's what the Mexicans are for.
Who said that? I know a lot of people who cut grass.
Hefe,
be honest.
I myself,
who own lawn service? Go ahead. I know a lot of black people that'll say, I'm not going to work for McDonald's, which happens, they have benefits here.
Yeah.
They don't do it. It's beneath them.
Ooh. Oh,
McDonald's.
I don't know.
Not only does McDonald's have health benefits. Hold on. Not only does McDonald's have health benefits.
They pay for your education.
And guess what? They got a waiver from Obamacare 2 years ago.
I didn't know Cesar Chavez was black.
Who the hell is Cesar Chavez?
You don't remember him? He started the United Farm Workers Union. The Mexicans
that
pick fruits and vegetables. That's the point. I don't know any blacks that go out and picking fruits and vegetables in California.
A lot of them
are illegal aliens.
I don't know any whites that are telling his boss.
Every aspect of construction
has
taken over landscaping.
Two people are talking over each other, and I can't hear the man. What did he say?
Janitor jobs, school jobs as janitors and things to that nature, lunch stuff like that, lunch people. They've taken over all of those lower, maybe not even so much lower income jobs, because they get paid a wage that can support them, and they can still send money back.
The point is, what happens to a decent black kid who, by no fault of his own, lives in the ghetto, born here in the United States, and he can't go anywhere because an illegal alien has taken his job? Where does he go? Where is his champion? Who is going to defend him when you got the illegals coming over the border?
This is, F.A., another thing that's very important. I'm going to get to some more phone calls because they're calling in now like crazy. The number is 347-308-8701 if you're listening and if you want to give a call. Here's something interesting about that. You said it was a great idea that President Obama told Latinos 16 to 30 that they now had an executive order that they wouldn't be deported because they came here through no fault of their own. I don't know whether or not you agree with the whole gay marriage thing that he affirmed, that, he believed that gay people should be able to be married. But, when I was talking about all this, he wanted to give women free contraception. He believes that Catholic archdiocese should be able, if they're employers, they should give their employees free contraception. He made all of these sweeping ideas and going after these target groups. Can you name me one that was targeted directly towards African Americans?
Hold on, but see, can I say something now?
I just wanted to know one.
Hold on, what y'all making the problem is that if we keep separating ourselves from African Americans and whites, it's never going to be a level playing field.
Well, hold on. Let me
say,
wait, before you go any further, I want to address what you just said. You said if we keep separating ourselves. Sir, those were promises made by the president who separated women by calling it a war on women, saying that he affirmed gay marriage, and saying that he was going to give amnesty to illegal aliens. And I just asked you, here's a man who actively sought out a particular group. And then I asked you, what did he do for blacks? You don't have an answer. Your response
is, there is no answer. Because we're American. We are Americans, Ree. We're not.
Of course
we're black. We are Americans. We're not two Americas. You're trying to make it like it's two different Americas. There isn't. It's just one America. It's called the United States of America. The North and South.
Well, as I know, hold on a minute.
Someone's phone is breaking up. I can't hear it.
People are segregated in groups. You know that women are segregated from everybody else because women went about segregating themselves. There are women out there, I want to have equal pay, I want to have equal rights, I want to have this. That's segregation. There are, not that that's not right, that they shouldn't have equal rights, because they should. Everybody should be. However, we know, that's in a utopia world. We don't live in a utopia world. And I agree with you, we should not be segregating from race to race. But we should not be segregating from sexual orientation. We should not be segregating from color. We should not be segregating from
but
male.
But you're doing it.
From gender.
You're doing it. This is the first time that I've seen an election they talk about vote character over color. When has it ever been an issue about color?
It's never an issue. Obama's half white. President Obama's half white. He's more white than black. He just got black skin.
Look, yeah, I'd like to ask the guys in the Blanches a serious question. Can I ask him a question?
Black. How many times
did you guys vote yesterday? I'm just curious.
Zero.
Sal, what was your question?
I was just curious how many times they voted yesterday.
Zero.
Because Republicans only get a chance to vote once, and unfortunately...
Well, I didn't vote yesterday.
Chicago enforced very strictly the two-vote rule.
Let me get one more phone call before we go to the top of the hour, then I'll get to Edward in Connecticut. The number is 347-308-8701. We got somebody else, actually, from your neck of the woods, the battleground state of Ohio. Who do we got on the line?
Oh, wait.
Ohio.
Who?
What's your name, sir? Oh, who am I picking up the phone for? Hello? Okay, I guess they're just listening. Let's go to Edward in Connecticut. What's up, Edward? How are you?
Hey, I'm good, man. Hey, there's something you gotta, you know, tell these Lancers. I can't remember his name. Cafe Chulo. You know, every time he calls, he talks about he doesn't know any black people that are unemployed. It doesn't matter who you know.
It does matter.
Hey,
it does matter.
No,
he tells it to me, right?
Hold on, let me finish.
Just because you ask me
personally, hold on, let me finish my statement. Just because you personally don't know any black people who are unemployed doesn't mean that there are millions and millions of black people that are not unemployed.
Oh, millions and millions.
Which is what the statistics show. Now, I could say I don't know any Negroes who have good credit, which is true. I don't, but that doesn't mean there aren't Negroes out there with good credit. but the difference between my statement and your statement is that this fact shows that there are lots of Negroes, more Negroes with bad credit than there are with good credit. The second thing these guys always blab about is that, you know, you said something recently, you're trying to explain to them how the economy works. They're not going to be able to understand that because they believe in the zero-sum economy, where they think there's a certain amount of wealth in the country, and all the rich people are grabbing it up and being greedy with it, and only letting the waitresses and all the other working class people have a little bit of it. What they don't understand is that wealth is created by businesses who supply goods and services to people who want them or they desire them. If you have a product, if you make a better hot dog than everybody else, there's a good chance you're going to become rich before Michelle Obama, you know, makes hot dogs illegal.
Before we go to the top of the hour, White Mike.
Hey, man. Yeah, I work in an office full of white women. And one of them's a lesbian, so I kind of expected her to be an Obama voter. But the subject came up on election day, what was going on, and two of these women point blank told me that if Mitt Romney won, he was going to set women back 50 years. The GOP's loss is directly tied to the GOP's antiquated clinging to placating the Bible thumpers. Until they quit placating the Bible thumpers, they're not going to win it. Period.
That's not true.
I told you point blank what I was told by an Obama voter. Yes, it's true. I know many women who didn't vote for him simply because of his stance on abortion and contraception.
Period. I agree.
Huge. Yeah. Mike is right.
I agree.
Absolutely.
I agree with Mike.
That was a huge. It was a huge factor in this election, and one of the major reasons why. The major reason why with all of this was, is that we've got a growing population that has turned its back on traditionalism. I'm not saying it's bad or good, but listen to what I'm saying. We have a growing population that has made us or has become more comfortable with the idea of not only not being married, but being unmarried with child. It's become a social norm.
Their social ideals trump their concern with the economy.
Right.
Until the GOP figures it out, they're going to lose. That's why I believe there's going to be a third party.
I'm going to tell you something. They can do whatever they want, but these have consequences in the supernatural.
The bottom line is that the GOP is going to lose. One-fifth of the American electorate no longer considers itself religious. And that is a huge number. And Mike is right. It's not so much about having your traditions or having your, quote-unquote, your religious beliefs, but you have got to stop ramming them down the throats of the American electorate, because it is really hurting them, because some people can't live within that rule of law. So because they can't, they reject it.
And you basically throw away a huge percentage of the electorate who would happily vote for a fiscally conservative candidate because they're tarred with this silly religious nonsense.
So what's not nonsense?
It's totally nonsense.
What good is it if you gain the world but you lose your soul? Is that what it comes down to?
But if you're going to lose your soul because you have so much avarice that you need to have an elected office? If you are going to base your political party on fairy tales, you're going to lose.
It's not a fairy tale, my friend.
Religion belongs in the church, not in politics.
And it belongs everywhere. Dennis,
it belongs everywhere because you have to live what you believe. You can't just leave it behind somewhere and then pretend it doesn't affect you. And everyone's getting broken up here. Is this the wire? Is this my wire or is your wire? Everything's getting broken up.
That's why the GOP lost.
Stick around, guys.
The GOP lost for other reasons.
We're going to go to the top of the hour. Everybody hold on. We'll be back.
It is because it's an interesting discussion, and Mike had mentioned it today on one of his Facebook posts.
And I definitely have something I would like to add to this.
Yeah,
so.
I saw that, and it struck me as very, very interesting, and I think that Mike has a very, very valid point here, and I think it's something that we need to discuss. But we'll go to the top of the hour. We'll be right back at the top of the hour right here on Recent Radio.
Warning, the sound you're about to hear can be devastating to your ear.
I love it.
You're listening to Reese on the Radio right here on blogtalkradio.com.
What are you prepared to do? Everything within the law.
And then what are you prepared to do?
If you open the ball on these people, you must be prepared to go all the way. Because they won't give up the fight until one of you is dead.
I don't know how to get him.
Here's how you get him. He pulls a knife, you pull a gun. He sends one of yours to the hospital, you send one of his to the morgue. That's the Chicago way. Now, do you want to do that? Are you ready to do that?
Reese on the Radio, top of the hour. 2 minutes after the hour right here on blogtalkradio.com. It is November the 7th, 2012, the morning after of the big election. Of course, President Obama is the one, I'd be the last one to tell you at this particular point because everybody knows unless you're living under a rock. You know, White Mike brings up a very, very valid point about this, and I've thought about this long and hard. Dennis, on the other hand, brings up a very, very important point as well because it is about principle, and I agree with that it's always about principles. You go in there believing what it is you believe, and you go in there with your head held high. But Mike, and contrary to that, says, then you run the risk because that is about you, and we are living in an ever-changing world. Your job as the President of the United States, if you plan on receiving that nomination, is that you have got to consider the fact that there are others out there who do not believe in your beliefs and do not want your religion a part of their politics. That's where that argument lies. And I think that's where Mike is making his point. I know he's making it in a harsh way, but I think it's a very important point, is that Mitt Romney's Mormonism really didn't play a lot in the rundown to the major election, but it played a key role. It played a key role in the primaries with guys like Rick Santorum. Played a key role. And liberals and the media, they jumped on it. And they put it front and center. Contraception, you know, the right of women in the workplace as far as contraception is concerned. It was a tactical effort that they succeeded with. And even though Mitt Romney got 57 million votes in key places where religion plays no part, Cincinnati, Ohio, places like Orlando, Florida, Miami Beach, you can forget about religious ideals playing any role in areas like that. You're going to lose. with the huge gay population in Miami Beach, there's no way that Mitt Romney was going to win that area, and it's a largely populated area. Any metropolis in this country, and if you looked at that electoral map, you saw it. Those heavily populated cities, those metropolises, there are people there who live in single-parent household, who are single women with children, who want these contraceptives, who live a very freewheeling lifestyle. And I'm not saying that to be disrespectful, but those people who see somebody like Mitt Romney married for 43 years, it's supposed to be a good thing, not something they can live up to. See a man with, what, 15 children or whatever?
Well, there are certain norms. There are norms and is it abnorms?
Sure.
There are norms and abnorms. And norms in more rural areas, more suburban areas, are traditional. Their morals, their values are traditional because they grow up in what we would call a more traditional environment. Okay. The norms in these highly populated urban areas, big cities, are all over. I mean, there are no, everything, it's a free-for-all, you know? And I'm not saying a free-for-all is bad, because it's not bad. I'm not judging anybody. You do whatever it is that you want to do. But if you're running for the president, if you're running to be the president of the United States of America, unfortunately, Dennis, I agree with you when it comes to religion in a certain way. And I'm not a very religious person, but I would consider myself more traditional now as an older, mature adult than I ever did before. However, you know, when you're running for the president, like you said, you can't put your ideals. Nobody in the government that is running a business, because the government is a business, and us taxpayers are paying them to do a job. When you go into a job, when I go to my job every day, I can't bring my religion to work. My ideals. I'm there to do a job, and that's it. So when you're stepping into a job as the president or anybody in the government that, you know, is responsible for the rest of the free country or the free world, you can't bring those ideals with you. You must have votes about things. You must ask the people what they want. You must ask those of us that are paying you what it is that we think is best in a majority versus a minority.
And try to appeal to those things.
So your ideals and things, it's not that you're throwing that away, Dennis, or that you're risking your soul for anything. You're doing a job. I'm paying you, and I don't want you, if I'm paying you, if I'm part of your pay, I don't want you to bring your personal ideals into the office, regardless whether they match what mine are or not.
Let's bring the guys back.
Well, let me ask you this, and this is where I have to digress. Seriously, Mayor. Then if I'm your supervisor, and if I'm amoral or like Ayn Rand, that I come first and the hell with you, and then you've been working for a long time under me, and all of a sudden I decide that somebody can give me something better for my needs, and I can act in an amoral way, and I let you go without caring about whether you have a family or not. I couldn't do that according to my faith and my religion.
No, and Dennis, I wholeheartedly understand that, but that is a choice that people make. Now, if you are, I've worked for many people, I've had many people work for me, in some capacity or another. So if you are an immoral person and you do something that is shitey morally because you don't have the capability or you don't share the same morals that I do, then, you know, if I believe in God, then that is something that I can't judge that person. That is something that they'll have to face with God at Judgment Day. You know, that's not, you know, then in my eyes, then I wasn't meant to be there. I wouldn't want to continue to represent a company.
I think you're misunderstanding what I'm saying. I'm not saying that I have to force my belief in you. I am saying for me, when I make a decision, I want somebody who's running for office who reflects me and my values. And if we win, fine. If we don't, well, that's the way it happened.
when did religions and morals become synonymous? That's a bit of a stretch.
Since
you
the
can
beginning
be immoral
of
without
the
being
Republic.
Religious. No, it's not necessary. I'm a moral person. I don't screw anybody over. I do legitimate deals in business. I don't break the law. I don't hurt people. I do right. I do charity work. And I don't believe in fairy tale religion. So you can be moral without
not,
being religious.
It's not a fairy tale.
And being religious does not mean being moral.
Right. It's
at all.
It's not an absolute. And I get exactly where you're coming from there, Mike. I think in this political process, this is why I agree with you. Politically, I believe that you're right 100%. The reason why I agree with Dennis is I believe that there is something that we have that's called, you know, in my sense, I use the word often, conviction. You run the risk, but you go there with who it is that you are, and you take me as I am. And I agree with that. You must. But you must.
You can't do that when it comes to your ideologies, when you're doing a job
right.
that people are paying
right.
you.
You're running the risk.
Case,
right. You're running the risk of alienating
case,
people.
If that was the case, if you could just go into anywhere and do that, then our unemployment rate would be at the highest of all. We would really seriously be in a recession because, you know, we would just be like France or just be like Greece because no one would have a job because we all have
but
our
Mary,
own
you see where this is going. If we don't believe in anything, we believe in nothing.
But
if we believe in nothing,
no,
we end up like Bill Clinton.
Whatever
the situation calls for,
that's
and then we switch.
That's totally wrong because
when
I believe
a job to take your ideals and shove those down my throat. If I don't agree with you, I'm paying you to do a job, and that's to keep this country safe. That's to keep this country free. That's to protect us. I'm paying you to protect me as an American citizen and my rights. I'm not paying you to protect me as an American citizen and my ideals, because my right is to have my own ideals.
Well, then let me ask you this, Mary. When is it proper for the leader of the free world to speak out and the moral issues? Never?
You're confusing morality
with
religion.
Every once in a while.
You're confusing morality with religion. They're not synonymous.
Right, exactly.
At all.
Exactly. I don't think that they're synonymous. And, Dennis, I think the point here is what's being said, and this is the reason why I agree with it. The bottom line is that right now, because of the state of this country, what I said to you, like one-fifth of the country does not identify itself in any religious way. This is an electorate. This is an electorate that you have to appeal to. I'm not saying that Mitt Romney in some way should hide who it is that he is. I believe that he should have conviction. I have more respect for someone who shows that conviction. This is who I am. This is what I believe. This is the God that I follow. I have no issue.
Then you would have supported Aiken in Missouri and Murdoch in Illinois and Indiana.
But at the same time, you don't have to be ashamed of who you are and hide who you are. But at the same time, you cannot, and I'm not saying that Mitt Romney did this. I do think that this is how people think
or
perceive it. But you cannot go out and say, okay, this is who I am, and this is who I'm going to make this country because I am this way, because you are one person. This country relies on you for something else. Those things should not even be issues. There are greater issues to worry about. The economy, the safety of our people, the fact that we could possibly, you know, the Russian ships were just right here. You know, what
well, let me ask you this, Mary. Should social issues ever be on a ballot?
What?
Should social issues ever be on a ballot?
At the Vatican.
Pardon me?
No,
because we just defeated question two in Massachusetts, a so-called right to die initiative, and I voted no. I'm not going to allow somebody to just go into a pharmacy and get 100 pills to kill yourself.
But here's the thing.
It's not going to happen under my watch.
You, Dennis. It's not your business.
It is my business because it was a ballot on my ballot. It was a question on my ballot.
Unless it's you, it doesn't affect you.
It does. Are you familiar with question two?
Then don't go get the pills and kill yourself. But if your neighbor wants to kill him,
there was no.
I
don't think you're familiar with question two because you're down in Florida and it's not your fault. Excuse me.
It doesn't affect you.
It does affect me.
It does affect
me.
It does affect you.
Hold on.
It affects me.
I don't want to get on this question two thing. I understand this. Is that that's the reason why things like that are on the ballot. You give people an opportunity to vote on those things, and if it's voted down, then the will of the people have spoken. I don't think that it would be something completely different if our U.S. government had finally decided that, you know what, it is okay to kill yourself. This was a ballot initiative that people were able to vote on, and they either vote yes or they vote no.
But it's not as simple as that, Reese. It's not as simple because what it was that you could have just had anybody swear off that you want to kill yourself, and there was nothing to indicate the manner of death when you did that, or if you changed your mind, there was no tracing of the meds, and you could have changed your mind and gave it to somebody else, and they could have killed themselves, off themselves. Well, you could have killed somebody with them.
Was it voted down?
Yes, it was, finally.
Okay. Well,
it was from the Hemlock Society, and they called it Dignity with Death, and that was a misnomer.
Let's go to Ed.
It wasn't as simple as saying, listen, I have a disease, and I don't want to live in misery, and please give me death with dignity. Oh, it was the only thing that looked with dignity was a title. The rest was a misnomer.
All right,
Massachusetts allowed now for medical marijuana. People saying, wow, we can have that. But if you look at the damn bill, and I voted no, it means you can start growing your own and get it for any reason, completely opposite to how it was being sold to the public.
Hey, Reese.
Yeah,
I just wanted to say I think I need to apologize to Dennis because I said something that might have been, I may have said a little too fast. I said that you're confusing morality and religion, which is not really true in your case. I think that your morality comes from religion, and I should respect that. So I wanted to apologize for saying that. But I think
I didn't even hear you say that. What I'm concerned about is White Mike saying that it's a fairy tale religion, and that could be digressing for another night.
Let me just finish what I was saying. But I also think you have to understand people like myself and Mike, we are moral people, but it just doesn't come from religion. Just because we don't have certain religious beliefs doesn't mean we're not moral people. We're not going to go out and murder someone or rape someone just because we don't believe in a particular religion.
I'm not saying that. I'm saying for me.
No,
and what I want in a
candidate really
has to reflect my values, and when you have a candidate, it reflects your values, and then let's see what happens. But then again, we do have to understand that elections do have consequences.
That is your American, your God-given and American thinking, nobody's saying that you're wrong for having your beliefs. We're just saying that we don't necessarily agree with that.
And to get back to the initial point was...
I understand that.
And back to the point, which was exactly the question that Mike had raised about why the GOP is losing so much of the electorate now, is the fact that, again, even though we might not be extremely happy about it, I know the scope of the electorate is dramatic. Now, with many red dots that you saw on that in the country last night, when you looked at that big giant map, not the map which just had the states on it, but did you see that one with all the little red dots all over it? And the little, it was like literally consumed by all of this red, but all of these major little areas had blue. And when you looked at that map, it looked like, wow, Republicans ran the whole thing. And like, where are all these blues coming from that could have possibly won the electoral vote?
But I disagree, Reese. I disagree.
Listen to what
I'm saying. And I'll tell you what it was, just like in the 6th District here in Massachusetts, you had Richard Tessay, an openly gay man. He ran for lieutenant governor 2 years ago, and he lost to the guy whose wife just came out of Club Fed. He lost to Tierney. What you have here is a shift in the electorate. And this year, you had 13% of the vote was cast by blacks. In 04 was 11%. This year, 10% was Hispanic. In 04 was 8%. This time, 19% were cast by voters under 30. In 04 was 17%. Taken together, these results swelled the ranks of Obama's three-tiered base by 5 to 6 points, accounting fully for his victory. And then, not only that, Chris Christie screwed us, along with Sandy. Because
well,
then
me,
it took people's minds
the
off the election, and then they can see the two of them walking arm in arm, and it's the kumbaya moment. It doesn't affect
what?
Me, but it affects a lot of the people who vote emotionally.
But
like,
listen to what's the question, Mike? What was the question you just asked? Why
is the GOP losing white middle class women voters?
And you believe?
You want me to be blunt?
Yeah, I'll tell you why.
I can't say those
kind
of words that I'm thinking of in a recent show.
It's because they're seen as interfering in women's reproductive rights and the right to do
their body
what
they wish.
They don't
have any. What right? You have a right to kill your child? I don't see that.
You have a right to do with your body what you want.
Aren't you forgetting the child that's involved that you're killing?
Once that child can walk around and take care of itself, fine. It's not my responsibility, exactly.
That's not my responsibility.
My cross to bear, Dennis, and neither is it yours.
Well, I have to disagree, Mary. I really do.
And
Dennis, are
the reason the GOP is ringing its death knell.
On the level of, like, rape, incest, life of the child, life of the mother, whatever. I only agree with it for those reasons. I've never had an abortion myself. I don't have any children. So you can.
But I think Mike is coming disingenuous because I don't think he likes religion. He said right up from the get-go, fairy tale. What's the fairy tale?
I treat Christianity with the same amount of respect and reverence as I treat Bigfoot and Sasquatch, okay? It's a fantasy.
Now, hold on. Now, wait. Before you say anything, guys.
When someone talks to me about religion, I say, what about Santa Claus?
Why, Mike,
you believe
hold on.
In Santa
Mike,
Claus.
Hold on. Just, that's another thing. You know, I have to ask you that question. Hefe and Bingo, I'm going to ask you guys that because as African Americans, and you know that the African American community is largely Christian, and, you know, what Mike's talking about is talking about that sort of that separation of religion. You know, many people, especially white women, as the polls suggest, are moving away from sort of like the religious right, if you will. African Americans heartedly ignored Christian values, kind of being stomped on by this administration. Did that not affect you or concern you in any way?
There's even a religious left. Don't forget that.
Dennis, let somebody speak.
Well, it's like this. I respect what Dennis is saying because, you know, believe it or not, Hefe too will go to church every Sunday. Believe it or not. Check this out. But the first thing that God gave us was a will. That's the first thing he gave us before anything. He gave us a will. He didn't give us a child first. He gave us a will. So what we do and what choices we make is what you do. You got to live with the consequences. But I cannot force myself on nobody else. I can't tell you how to live, how to raise your children, how to take your life. I can't do that. I can't. I just got to worry about myself. It's individuality. So for this election, this administration, I share their point of view that you can't force nobody religion on another person.
Well, it's the true essence of liberalism to sort of live and let live. Conservatism, on the other hand, believes that there is, that there should be what's considered moral judgment here. And I'm not talking about just a religious part. I'm just talking about it's some moral justice here. And that is the life of the child, birth being at the time of, you know, at the point of conception. Marriage is between a man and a woman. And not changing those the Constitution being a contract that protects its people from its government, those things. But if you look, at people like F.A. Chulo, who unfortunately believes that the government in some way owes the people something. F.A., stop me when I'm wrong.
Thank you.
He believes that the government owes the people something because there are people out there who cannot make it, who cannot survive. So therefore, the government must do its part and inject itself in people's lives. But, you know, I'll ask a very, very important question. And I saw this on, what was this, Real Politics, I think, that is the site on YouTube. They asked this great question to these people who were there supporting contraception. And they were supporting Michelle Obama at an Obama rally. And the guy asked them one question. He said, do you believe the government should stay out of your bedroom? And every woman he asked said, absolutely right, the government has no place in your bedroom. And then his follow-up question was, then why should the government pay for your contraception?
Then why should the government pay for something that you're doing in your bedroom?
And no one could answer the question. So,
well, you had Rick Santorum, who basically said that he didn't believe in contraception at all. Yeah, he wanted to go back to like 1950s America. And that's not going to fly with anybody. I mean, how many women do you know take birth control? I'd wager most of them.
I know some women who don't take birth control or refuse to because they believe it gives them cancer.
Yeah.
Or makes them put on weight or gives them pimples.
But I know women who take it to, like, control irregular periods and take it for other medical reasons. And people like Santorum, who are seen as rich white guys, are not the people who need to be voicing their opinion on this. It seems wrong.
It's well, who like died left people, you to be
it's
God?
Like, it's like white people telling black people how to live. It's not seemly.
I have to agree with Mike. And I don't agree with Mike most of the time. Well, none of the time, but... F.A. Chulo, I'm agreeing with you, Mike.
All right, man.
I think I've always thought we should look at Santorum's views in a little bit different way. You know, he doesn't believe in contraception. And like Mike says, a lot of people I know say he's trying to take us back to 1950s. But I say, no, he's trying to take us back to 1980s Brooklyn, where nobody believed in contraception. And we had teen mothers popping out all over the place. You know, Reese grew up in New York, too, so I know you know what I'm talking about.
Well, I was thinking on that regard, and, you know, I posed this question plenty of times when we talked about the abortion, you know, issue. Hefe Chulo and Bingo, you guys are perfect people to give this question to. And I'm going to say, put it as plain as day, yes, because you're black. I'm going to ask you. It's a very important question. I've asked plenty of African Americans in my travels this same question. If there was no such thing as abortion, you couldn't get it done, the procedure doesn't exist, or if there were no such thing as condoms or birth control for that matter, these had never been in the advent at all, what would black people, would black men or black women for that matter, use smarter precautions when they commingle? In other words, would guys ask girls questions like, hey, bitch, when do you ovulate? Or... hey, when's the last time you had your period? You know,
well,
things
you
like
know
that.
What,
don't you think
well,
that'd
well,
be
well,
much
well,
more?
Well,
don't you think that most people would be much more cautious about what
well,
it is that they
minute,
do in the bedroom?
Wait a minute. Let's think about this. Before anybody even answers that, let's think about this. On the flip side, contraception and abortion is available everywhere.
Right.
Almost at any time.
Right. So, no, I'm just saying.
And people are fighting for it, to have that right to it. Ain't nobody using it.
This is true.
I mean, if more people take advantage of using contraception, of using condoms, of doing these, especially condoms, because STDs are running rampant. AIDS ran rampant forever. And all of this stuff was available, but people weren't using it. Kids are 13, 14, 11-year-old girls getting pregnant, having babies. That's not a contraception issue. That's a home issue.
Well, and to answer your question, Reese, if there were no abortion and no contraception available, would people be more careful? No, you'd end up like what we had in heavily Catholic South Louisiana, where I grew up, where you had four families with 10 children.
Yeah, but don't you think that at a certain time people start saying, hey, I got to do something about it, or I have to be a little more careful?
No.
I'll continue to pull out.
I heard somebody say pull out.
No, that's what I say, Chulo. I'll continue to pull out. That's what I've been doing. It's been, hey, over 40 years, no children. So I've been doing great.
Well, you know, you can't make mouth babies.
Listen, pulling out doesn't save you from the gift that keeps giving, my man.
No, yeah, that's true.
F.A.
Furthermore, it's a sin.
F.A.
Oh, no, don't. JT, don't do that to my ex-wife.
It's a sin.
Yes, it is.
F.A. Chulo.
Yes, sir.
The reason why you went 40 years with no children is very, very simple to me, my friend. It's called low sperm count.
You're crazy. I'm 300, dude. If I'm going to have a child, 300.
Or your palm got its tubes tied behind your back.
Reese, we got some breaking news here.
What's that?
Riots are breaking out because of Obama's election.
Stop lying.
I'm not kidding. Dateline, Jackson, Mississippi by AP. A protest University of Mississippi against the re-election of President Barack Obama drew to a crowd of about 400 people who shouted racial slurs as rumors of a riot spread on social media. Two people arrested
right now,
minor charges.
A drug report. Hold on. Anti-Obama.
All right.
Shit.
We'll go to a break.
It's getting kind of hectic.
We'll get the info on the story. Everybody go to drugreport.com to go look it up. We'll be right back.
That's where I'm getting it from.
Let's get
steady. The beat get heavy when this get you better, get ready. Fabricate your brain, the fallout too deadly. Run away for the eye, the seven Getty. The good that you speak, the sweet of the smelly. Think like me, come back, wanna tell me. Why you never want to call job on the telly? Why you wanna never call job on the telly? Yeah.
Baby, go when I unload. Make it ego explode. Baby, gone soon as I enter in the dough. We be bitten, unrelenting, too cold. Fuck a white collar. Suckers can't do me nada. Been in a lot of situations, made it hotter. Homie, but we gotta live it. Got the fodder. Give it, then I get it. Spit it, make it proper. It's alright. Plus, my mic sound nice. Flippin', be specific, damn your dice. We fly on a gamble, try, learn to handle. Ways of the days of life, fade the candle. And flicker, sticker, black, bring the cup back. Before we lose track of where we at.
Read it.
She's read the entire thing. Okay, you give the breakdown of this story.
Okay,
like
so Tuesday night when they, you know, at the Ole Miss University of Mississippi, there were about 20 to 40 students, you know, that obviously found it, were together watching and found out that President Obama was reelected when they called it at about, it was, what was it, shortly after 10 or something like that.
A little after 11, actually.
Things spread on social media. It grew to some 400 people. At some point, people were told to leave. It was about 100 people. At that point, they had left. They come back. You know, they start allegedly spewing racial slurs and things to this nature. However, the video that they have and the audio that they have does not approve that, you know, does not say that is true.
Oh, okay, so it wasn't confirmed in the video.
No, it wasn't confirmed in the video. They're saying that the video that they have is intelligible. So,
really?
Oh, yes, that is what they're saying. However, they do have video of somebody, of them, you know, burning an Obama sign. There was a professor there, Professor Meacham, that, you know, wrote, they call this a riot. You know, obviously, anyone that's calling this a riot has no idea what happened here in 1962. It's just... October 1st was the 50th anniversary that, you know, when they integrated Ole Miss, and they had called out some, like, 500 police officers and 300, armed forces or whatever,
National Guard,
when they brought in the first black person to go into Ole Miss in 1962 on October 1st. So, I mean, obviously this wasn't a riot. It was a gathering of social media of about 400 students.
Yeah, but why would people say that they were reporting that racial epithets were being thrown and then sending, watch the video,
and
it
was
unintelligible?
It was unintelligible, yeah.
I think it was
unintelligible. However, they are saying that it did happen, although
there is
no confirmation.
There's no confirmation of it.
Other than rumors. And you know what? Even if it was, bottom line is, this is nothing. It wasn't a riot. It was 400 kids at an Ole Miss. And I bet you there was probably black kids there as well.
Probably.
They, you know, that were black students as well that were involved, because we all have our own thoughts. Not everybody that was black voted for Obama, and not everybody that was white voted for Mitt Romney. Come on, give me a break.
You know that Eli Manning's alma mater.
What?
Ole Miss.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So, you know, it was 400 students. It's over.
Well,
it's done with. Nobody got hurt. There was one person that got arrested for public intoxication. and another gentleman that was arrested for not following police orders. So, you know, nothing was hurt other than a burned Obama sign.
Before I go to anyone, I got to go to our resident race baiters.
Let's see what the blacks have to say about this.
Hold on.
Tell us how it works.
Hey, listen, I almost had to get Sean Quarley and Michelle Williams out there because I want them on the front line of this one.
You damn right I do. Come on, Hefe, come on, tell me. What's the deal? Come on, scream your racist spew.
Well, didn't Ole Miss just get their first black homecoming queen nominated? Didn't Ole Miss just get their first black homecoming queen?
Well, apparently, I mean, was it racist? Come on, guys. But a lot of people don't want for. At least they didn't do exactly what some of the black people on Twitter said they were going to do.
What's
that?
Is
that
any
better than Mitt Romney's son talking about he wants to smack the president?
No, it's not any better. It's not
the
any
current,
better. I thought that was important as well.
The current student body president is the fourth black person to be elected to the post of president. So I don't know what this, what the point was about whether they had a black homecoming queen or not.
Yeah, it was the first time they had a black homecoming queen.
Yeah, but was
the queen male or female?
Female.
You never can tell these days.
Oh, yes, you can.
I want to know, is Reese on the radio going to honor their death?
No, we're done with that.
We're done with that?
No.
Really, Reese?
We have a provision here on Reese on the radio.
Really?
And let me tell you why. Hold on. Let me tell you why.
Really?
We have a provision. Well, who is the young lady who's on your show that that personally attacked me on my Facebook page? Do you remember her?
No.
Which
one?
Miss New York?
Oh, Miss New York?
Yes.
Okay.
I can't hear you. For harassing me on my Facebook.
Hello?
You can't hear me?
Sounds like an AM radio on a late night. The signal comes in and out.
Okay. Well, you can check on my Facebook page.
There we go.
Where I wrote a message to the Real Talk Blancers, and she then continued to and made it sound like I had wrote on her page. She had literally got. She's not a friend of mine. We are not friends. We are not socially connected in any way. And then went to bashing me off my Facebook page.
Okay. So what do I have to do with my bet, Reese? What do I have to do with my bet?
That's absolutely fine. I'm going to honor that when I get an official apology from Miss New York.
Wait, what was the bet?
The bet was that to go off the air for a month for the rest of November.
I don't know why you're welching, bro.
You're
my buddy, but... You bring up this apology thing after the fact, man. That's not cool.
Thanks, Mike, I'm starting to like you more and more.
You're my friend, Reese, but you got to have some ethics, man.
Excuse me. I do have some ethics. That's the reason why I'm here tonight, and that's the reason why F.A. Chulo's on the show tonight.
You can't add stipulations to your bet after you lose.
No, I'm not adding
cool.
the stipulation. I'm not adding.
I don't remember this apology
all
thing
right,
when
fine.
You made the bet.
So you want me to honor it? I will honor it. I will honor it in less than 15 minutes. Well, a little over 15 minutes.
No. Like we will talk. We will talk. Me, you, me.
No.
JP.
I'm
going to
honor it. I'm going to honor it.
We'll talk.
It's not 30 days. It's less than 20. It's 21 days.
Reese, there's a story out of Detroit. I'm not sure if it qualifies for Jigaboo time.
Oh, yeah, it does.
You're not doing that.
I know what he's talking about.
I've got a better story for Jigaboo time, folks. This is my favorite story. Serial felon and convicted fraudster Brian Banks will become Michigan.
That's the one.
It is. Are you guys aware of this, F.A.?
What's that?
Are you aware of this, F.A.?
Of what?
Democrat Brian Banks an 8-time convicted felon with a rap sheet spanning several years, on Tuesday handily defeated his Republican opponent in the race to repeat Michigan's first district as a state representative, taking 68% of the vote. 68%. Banks' district includes Northeast Detroit, Harper Woods, Grosse Pointe Woods, and Grosse Pointe Shores. The 35-year-old Banks was convicted of credit card fraud and writing bad checks 8 times between 1998 and 2004. His latest conviction came 8 years ago when he was 27 years old. Trust me, the story gets worse. However, Banks, who defeated Grosse Pointe Shores City Councilman Republican Dan Schultz on Election Day, has insisted that he has turned his life around. Banks' biography on his campaign website describes him as an educator, law school graduate, and community leader. Banks is currently an adjunct professor pursuing a PhD in public policy, according to his website. He says, quote, "Yes, I've made many poor decisions, and yes, I have a record. But that's exactly what it is, my path. I would ask voters to look at what I've accomplished professionally and academically since my poor decisions." His campaign slogan was, "You can bank on Banks." But recent events have cast doubts on Banks' claims that he has, in fact, opened a new chapter in his life. In August, Banks was evicted from his Harper Woods home on Burden Street. The case involved a judgment of approximately $2,000. On October 31st, a $3,751 judgment for non-payment of rent was entered against Banks after his landlord discovered, oh, hell, banks that were forged. Well, they were fake banks.
They were bounce checks.
Banks was evicted from his second Harper Woods home last week, this time on Fleetwood Drive. Freedom to the people, tell me. I mean, what's going to happen next for Banks? Does he become the next president of the United States?
This country is going to shit. What are people doing?
That's
it
Detroit.
That's Michigan.
That's Michigan. We should give them back to Canada.
That's fine.
But it gets better in Michigan because they also elected a reindeer farmer who said he wasn't always sure of himself or Santa Claus.
That was reelected from the Mayo Clinic. Where was he campaigning from?
Yeah, how about that? He's in substance rehab and depression treatment, and he gets reelected.
Hey, I got something to say about both Jesse Jackson being reelected, or Jesse Jackson Jr., and this criminal in Detroit. You know, when the government stops being representative of its people, then we no longer have a democratic government.
Yeah.
So you got criminals in Detroit, electing criminals, and drug addicts, you know, electing drug addicts. You know?
They're like the Santa Claus.
When you think about it, that's the way our country is supposed to work.
The 11th District of Michigan elected a reindeer farmer. And he said once in a deposition he wasn't always sure if he was himself or Santa Claus, and whose brother described him as mentally unbalanced.
Okay,
and he
won
a state rep in Michigan's 11th district.
Is there something in the water in Michigan? Not to beat a dead horse, but if some guy ran for office and said he regularly talked to God, would you think he was crazy?
No.
Ooh.
No, not at all.
Well, there's exactly as much proof.
So when did you stop? When did you stop talking to God, my lord?
There's as much proof that the guy's talking to God as the other guy might be Santa Claus.
Besides hating Jews and Catholics, who else do you hate?
First of all, don't bait me, and secondly, answer my question.
Why not bait you?
The guy talks to God. Is there
Why
any
not bait you? You're from
God.
I've already ended this conversation. I need to move on. We have a bigger story now. Come on, guys. I don't want you fighting about God today. We can do that on another day, perhaps when we come back. Listen, I just want to bring this story up. I don't know. I'm sure you guys have read this. But I know because I have F.A. and Bingo here, this is the perfect time to talk about it. The California man behind the anti-Muslim film is getting a year in prison.
Well, he violated probation or something.
Yeah.
For some previous crime he did.
Wait a minute. According to this story, they're giving him this because they said that he's not allowed to lie?
He violated probation.
Yeah, as well as getting a false
a false driver, a driver's license under false pretense, or something like that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so it had nothing to do with the film?
Technically it doesn't, but you know if the film had to come out, he'd be out in free right now.
Yeah, I mean, wasn't that
well,
the pretense of his
arrest? The pretense of his arrest was probably about the film, and during their investigation, they figured, we can't get him on this, so we got to get him on that one. And oops, look what we found.
I mean, this is
Our administration is just upset that this story didn't stick.
I mean, this is pretty heinous, guys. Come on. Now, Jefe Chulo, who obviously, you know, support people like Marion Barry, you know, Brian Banks in Michigan, you know, Jesse Jackson Jr., you know, known felons. These guys who support these known felons.
Crack smoking, bounce checking.
Yeah, crack smoking, check bouncing.
Prostitute wrangling.
Politicians. Why are you not fighting for the justice?
We sitting here laughing, but it's like every question you throw out is, you know, especially when it comes to black and white, it seems like you're throwing it to Bingo and F.A. Chulo.
Yes, because so you're black.
We are human. Because we are black, yes, we have our point of view. But until we over this thing where you ask me a question because I'm black, ask me the same question you will ask a white person.
Okay. Do you believe that the anti-Muslim filmmaker was railroaded?
I don't give a fuck.
Because
it has nothing to do with me.
Whoa.
You know what? Sometimes Reese asks a question because some of us may have more information. He thinks we have more information than the other guests. And everybody else is allowed to chime in afterwards. Like, Reese wouldn't ask me what it's like to be a 300-pound dude because I don't know. But he might ask somebody else first to answer what it's like.
Hey, Jefe, I'll ask you a question I would ask a white guy. Who's your favorite country western artist?
Ashton.
Whom? He said Usher?
Ashton. Because you like big booties. I like booties.
Whom?
Trace Atkins.
Oh, Trace Atkins.
Okay, Trace.
What about
you big
booties?
You like big booty?
What about John Michael Montgomery, Brooks and Dunn?
Right?
Any answer besides Willie Nelson is incorrect, by the way.
Yeah, you know what? Bingo, you can get upset or get personally offended at the fact that I asked you a question that is related to quote-unquote black topics, but there's a reason for that. The reason why is because I want to get a perspective, because most people are under the impression that I am removed from my blackness. Therefore, that they are more authentic.
Yeah, that's true.
Hold on.
What would possibly give him that idea?
In no way, shape, or form is Reese removed from his blackness. He is not far removed from
that. Man, you're closer to black than Reese is.
You see my point?
Not with those big old portraits of Ronald Reagan, Nixon, and Uncle Ruckus on your wall.
You know what people...
White, he puts mayonnaise on white bread. Are you kidding me?
The problem is that people confuse blackness with negrosity. It's two different things.
There you go.
What the hell is negrosity?
Take notes, Dennis.
Ghetto.
Negrosity is that thing that you get when you step on the pedal of a Cadillac Escalade.
No, negrosity is walking
Tony
down Sol- your church.
Only Tony Soprano has something like that.
For shizzle.
Negrosity is smoking blunts and eating fried chicken while you drink your malt liquor and beat your baby mom. That's negrosity.
And do you wash it down with a watermelon?
No, you wash it down with old English 800.
Now,
I thought maybe a grape knee high.
My point was.
What are you, Raider O'Reilly?
My point was that if I ask a question about that.
It's a Rock Creek grape soda.
When someone suggests that I am removed from my blackness, and I ask them an authentically black question, there's a reason for it. It's not just for humor. It's nothing just to take seriously enough to believe that it's an offense. It's to ask the question as if to say, what do I know about the African-American community? Do they believe that the criminal justice system is unjust to minorities in this country? Sure they do, overwhelmingly. So you two, being very in touch with that sort of ideology, I'm asking you a question that most of us or the mainstream America would have said, well, he did break this law, so he should do the time. Where in this particular case, there's an added bonus to this because he was brought in after he made this anti-Muslim film. Do you believe that this administration or do you believe that the powers that be are taking advantage of him because he's a minority or because he made this film? Or do you really, really believe that he should do the time because he committed this quote-unquote alleged act?
Well, Reece, if you recall, I was on your show and I told you that he's the one that made the film. We talked about that. So he made the film. He started this riot. He got to the time. But unfortunately, you know, he did break probation. So he had to go back to jail.
But listen. The government, our president, and the rest of his cabinet was blaming this filmmaker for a riot. It was never a riot. It was a planned
No,
it wasn't a riot. It was a planned terrorist attack, and the president and his cabinet and his staff and everyone else knew that from the beginning. In fact, they knew it before it even happened, and those are facts. Those are not my opinions. Those are facts. There is proof. So that's not my opinion. They used this video to take the American, the Americans in this country away from thinking that there would have been a terrorist attack.
Right, taking their eye off the ball. They did the Memphis. They did the Memphis shuffle, I believe it's called. When everybody looks to the left, you look right.
But according to some of the reports I've read, there's also proof that the instigators of this attack also used the video as cover to get other people to, you know, join them at the embassy. You know, just innocent people. They went up to them and said, hey, you know, Americans have this film coming out, and this is like Muhammad. They're like, this is like Muhammad. Let's go down there and protest. And the guys starting the problem, you know, they're the ones with the RPGs and the weapons, you know, getting all these people who just think they're going to a regular protest, and it turned out to be, you know, a cover for a terrorist attack.
Reese, before you close, is something that you should know. Today is the 80th birthday of former President George H.W. Bush. So happy birthday, Mr. President.
Oh, boy, now you brought these guys. I'm sure they're not happy about that.
And, Edward, based off of what you said, okay, there are reports that that happened, and I'm sure that this is not what you're saying, but for anybody else that is maybe confused, that still, you know, was never the issue. President Obama and them knew that this terrorist attack was going to take place before
August 15th.
You know, before
they got memos.
The video was used to rally other people.
Hey, they knew when the Twin Towers burned down. They still have it.
Their cover.
And, Mary, one thing I wanted to say before I was cut off was that I think it's funny that both the administration and the Al-Qaeda terrorists used the same film as cover, to one to cover up their attack and other one to cover up their incompetence.
You know what? That's interesting that you say that, because I wouldn't have thought of it that way.
Well, I'm still trying to figure out what is George H.W. Bush's connection to the Kennedy assassination. But we'll talk about that another time.
Oh, here we go.
Yeah.
With these people.
It's out there, man.
Jefe Chulo, bingo. As usual, man, it's been our pleasure.
Yeah. We'll talk to you next month.
Yes, you will. Are you people stuck? That's our show for the month, folks.
Hey, Jefe.
Did I lose you guys?
No, I hung up on them.
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay.
Yeah, I hung up on them because I just wanted them to see how it felt.
All right. All right, that's our show. I
on Facebook. Thanks, guys, because I'm going to have to pay for this personally. You don't understand. If Reese can't do this radio show, then, you know, and I, as much as I love it, I mean, this is, you know, this is a major part of his life. And,
well, we're going to go through it. Trust and believe, upon our return, it will be bigger and better.
That's all it is.
Okay, anybody that just heard Reese talk about maybe we'll make a baby, he's bugging because I'm not having no babies. I'm 38. It's too late.
Well, have fun trying.
What? Well,
it'll be snowing out for the next 20 days. Have fun trying.
Yeah, we can have plenty. We don't need to take a break from the show to do that, my man.
I'm sure we've heard.